not alone as we go through things. And I know we may sense it, we may feel it, we may think it, that, oh, I'm just all by myself. But I know that my God is there with me to help me, to comfort me, to strengthen me, to bring me peace. Oh, hallelujah. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, good morning again. Here we are. The last Sunday of 2019. I'm getting ready to launch into 2020. My, my. It was a year way out there. That was way out there in the beginning, wasn't it? Think of when we were born, you know? Some of us were like in the mid-60s. Others maybe be in the late 40s. I don't know. Early 50s, mid-50s, somewhere along there. Hallelujah. It's a long ways away. I can imagine what some of you are feeling. I know from 1956 to 2020, it's a long ways. I enjoyed those years of young, being a kid and growing up, but I don't know. Sometimes now is where I'm at in life. It's much more. I look forward to these things and what God has. It's that relationship that I hope we all have developed to where you're only as old as you feel. Now, granted, there's times that I wake up, I feel pretty old. It's okay. You know, get a little juice going through your system or whatever it is, and get up and get going, and then pretty soon it's like, I'm feeling great to take on another day. But we need to remain strong in Him. How about it? To keep Him on the forefront of what you're thinking and doing. To ask for that health and healing in our bodies and to believe and trust that He's there and going to fulfill those things for us. Above all of anything else, above all else, He died for you, above all else. And you know, my goodness, well, we can go off in all kinds of areas there. But I find in God's Word that He says He'll be with us. How do I know that? Well, He says it. He says it in His Word that He will be with us. Now, back in the time, He was talking to those times. He was talking to the Israelites back in the areas of the Old Testament, God speaking to them, bringing them out of bondage. Anybody here been in bondage? Were you in Egypt? Well, no, not physically, you know, but, you know, I've had bondages in my life, you know. We look at it as, well, what do you mean in those areas? But it's those times in my life to where the world had me bound. I was tied into the world so much that I didn't realize it, that the world was really dictating in my life what I was doing, what I was wanting to strive for, what I was shooting for, what I wanted to accomplish, what I was needing to succeed at, whatever the case might be. It's whatever the world says, this is what you should be achieving in your life. Then I became connected to that of God through Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I began to find out that there's a whole different kingdom out there that's always been there, but I had to recognize that it's there. And I had to make a desire in my heart to say, I want to move from this place over into this place. Did you too have to make a desire in your heart to say, I'm ready to move. Pack the van line. I'm leaving, you know. And I want to go into God's kingdom. I want to go where God says that He will take care of me. I want to go where He talks about rivers in the desert, mountains being lowered, valleys being raised. I want to go to where He tells me, don't think of the past. You know, the world wants you to think of your past. Think about what happened last year. What happened 5 years ago? You know, our mind does reflect that quickly. It's all in there. You can pull it out if you think long enough of things of your past. Or sometimes something happens in a conversation and your past of your mind will bring that back like you're right there, happening it again. Even in our conversations in Sunday school, talking about a situation that brought to a gentleman a thing that it's like, oh my goodness, afterwards, I hadn't thought about that until you mentioned it, and all of a sudden it flashed back to me, and it was like I was right there in that room and knew what I was doing and what I was saying, and that's what our mind does. We think of those things as, nowadays, you know, they've named it, it's always been there, but this is in no way that, okay? But it's like a post situation in your life. It's something that's happened in the back time, and something happens currently that all of a sudden brings that past back up to you. Those in serious situations, those that have had a traumatic thing in their life, would be post-traumatic stress. And those things all of a sudden come back. And it's only because it's our mind. The way our mind is made like it's a little movie theater. It's a little camera going on. Our eyes are the lens, right? And our mind is the film. And it's just rolling. Our senses, our smell, our touch, our taste, all of these things are incorporated in that. And it's very easy for us to all of a sudden have something be said, smell something, taste something, see something, and it could very well take you back to the past. Now, not all of it has to be traumatic. I've had those things of smell, sight, maybe a sound of hearing, and it's taken me back to things of the past in my life. How about you? Things of when I was growing up as a child and remembering as a kid, riding our bikes or playing ball out in a field, you know, and going into a little wooded area and digging. I don't know why we were digging a hole, but we just kept digging a hole. It was in the stand of trees, probably about that would fit in this room here, and the rest of it was just open field around it. But our kids, our my friends in the neighborhood, we got in there, and it's like we climbed up in the trees, and we hung, you know, Campbell's soup cans or whatever up in this one. We strung a wire or something or a line from it over to that tree, and,
hello, can you hear me?
Well, you really didn't need a can. You could hear them because they're only right, you know, 30 feet away. Hello, can you hear me? You know, the beginning of telephone in a kid's life. You know, did everybody remember doing those things? Tying a string into a can and stretching it and talking? We had like a little network, you know, tree here, tree here, tree here. And it's like you really didn't need it. You could just say, hey, let's go over here. But there was something about that can and all that. You felt like you were in control of technology. Digging that hole, I don't know, it was probably about that deep. I don't know why we're digging it. I think it's just something to do as kids, you know. And so the smells of leaves burning or grass burning today takes me back to when I was a child in a city where in the fall that's what we used to do is burn leaves along the gutter. Oh, I can go to a restaurant and smell that old greasy smell. Takes me back to back in a town that I lived at as a child. So these things are processes within ourself and our brain that takes these little pegs that we have and it connects them to these things. Can you imagine your brain, the circuit that's going in your brain? Even right now, I know some of you look like you're sleeping or, you know, just gazing, but your mind is working. You know, things are going across and our mind is constantly going. Matter of fact, sometimes we have a hard time shutting our mind off. Phew. Have you ever tried to shut your mind off to even get to sleep? Try that. Now, some people don't like this, but I like it to where when I get to the point to where I can just hear my pulse in my brain or my blood flowing or something, it's like, that's quiet, you know? Even if you have to put earplugs in or a headphone or something just to just to drown out anything else out there, I just want to hear my own body going. It's kind of a crazy thing. But then I start thinking, what happens if I don't hear that? I'm dead. Oh no, I got to stay awake to make sure my heart beats. No. We get ourselves so tied into things. But God's word tells us that we need to leave those things in the past, especially bad things. Things that will tear you down. Things that will take you back to that point in your life prior to that of Christ. Because the devil out here wants to remind you of your past, so that you keep going back to where you come from. So that you go back to where you come from. If you go back to where you come from, you'll say, I am not worthy of the things of God. Who am I? But then that song there today, above all kings and kingdoms, above all anything else, he was crucified for me. I meant enough to him that he died for me. And so I've got to remember that and say, get out of here, devil. You know, don't take me back to where I was with you and where I was found by God, because now I am a new creation. I am going to better things. I have stepped into, hallelujah, the world of light, and I left the darkness behind. Have you left the darkness behind? You know, that's the question that we need to look at. So we're at the end of this year. We're steps away from 2020. Can you imagine that? I don't know why I put that down, but it seems like so apropos, that we're just steps away from 2020. We're not that far away from it, guys. So what are you thinking of? What are your thoughts reflecting on, even in 2019? You know, it's well enough that we think of some things in our past when we were this age, that age, whatever the case might be. But what about this past year? What have you accomplished? Are you thinking of those things? What have I accomplished this past year? And whether it's in even natural things or the things of the world type areas, what you've accomplished, as well as what have you accomplished in the kingdom of God? And we go right from what we've accomplished to what? What we didn't accomplish. And we start thinking about that. And as we begin to think about that, what takes your focus more? Your accomplishments or your failures? Are the things you didn't accomplish. Maybe you didn't fail, you just didn't accomplish it. I would think that probably, unless we train ourselves to think on things that are high and above the things that we see here, I would think that the negativity of the things we didn't accomplish outweigh those that we did accomplish. Even though we accomplished a lot, this little things we didn't accomplish has a way of always getting back into our thoughts. And it's like, rather than dwell on, look what I've done for God. Look what God has done for me. Look what he had me do. Look where I'm at with him. Look what happened with me in the kingdom of God. Look at all these things, you know. And then there's this one thing here that I didn't really do what I should have done for God in his kingdom. And that thing will just outshine everything else, that the things that I did. And that's not God pointing that out, I don't believe. I think sometimes that's the enemy saying, well, who do you think you are? So you accomplished five things. You left two over here unaccomplished. You call yourself a follower of Christ. You call yourself that you're being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, is God telling me those things or is it the devil? I believe, for me, it's the devil wanting to constantly remind me of the things that I left on the table of what God had for me. Now, it's not an easy thing. I think God is always wanting us to accomplish more and more and more. But he'll give us the things that he knows that we're able to do, but it takes maturing. It takes perfecting us and growing in the things of God. And how do we grow in the things of God? His word tells us to perfecting, it's perfecting of your faith. It's by trials and errors and things that happen in your life. And I'm not saying I'm looking for, you know, trials and tribulations in my life. Oh, bring 2020. I can't wait for trials and tribulations. But guess what's coming in 2020? Trials and tribulations. We're not immune to it. It'll come. The strongest faith Christian out there is going to have trials and tribulations. And it could be because they're the strongest faith person out there. It's because they had past history of trials and tribulations that perfected their faith, matured their faith, grew them into a level that, yay, I stand amongst the waves, but I'm not going to be overtaken by the waves. I'm going to be a calm. I'm going to call for calmness in this storm. And I believe even around a situation that you're in the natural, you would look at it in the supernatural thinking, wow, look at the boisterous and the boisterous winds and the waves and all these things happening. And I believe I see myself standing like that in the eye of a hurricane. Where is the calmest point in a hurricane? In the middle of it. Sometimes you got to get yourself, I'm in the middle of a hurricane, but look at this. This is the peace of God. Everything else around me in the peripheral, the collateral area, is being destroyed. But I am going to be in perfect peace, and we're going to come through this only because God is my source. And he has told me he's going to make ways where there seems to be no ways. Do you remember that? So I believe if I were a betting man, I would say, if I were to bet, the thoughts that seem to consume you are the ones focusing on your failures more than on your accomplishments. Why? That pleases the devil. To focus on your failures pleases the devil. Focusing on your accomplishments, focusing on the things that did well, God likes that because he sees you seeing those benefits of how that affected your life or his growth in your life or his development in your life by that of the Holy Spirit. Some thoughts of quotes in that area. What consumes your mind controls your life. What is in your mind? Whatever's in your mind is going to control your life. I've shared this many times. But if I have a, you know, throw any kind of thing out there, you know, a weakness that we have is anything, but, you know, food is pretty easy to look at really quick for all of us because we all eat stuff. But if all of a sudden at 9 o'clock at night you get a hankering for something that's not in your kitchen, you may drive anywhere to get it. And I've said this before. Could be a concrete mixer. It could be cheese curds. It could be whatever out there. But if your mind is thinking so much on it, your body, it begins, your mind controls your body, and then all of a sudden you start tasting it even though you don't have it, and you go, I gotta go. And your wife or your spouse say, where are you going, honey? I gotta go to the store. I gotta go to this place. Well, do you want me to get you anything while I'm out? You know? I've had that happen in driving around and doing things and picking up stuff and going around town. All of a sudden, you just get a thought. You drive by a place. You see something on the menu on the sign. You do whatever. You go, boy, that sounds good. And you go down the block or two or three or whatever. Or you go down Milton Avenue, and then you're coming back. And you go, boy, that thought's still in there. That does sound good. I think I'll pull in and pick one up and take it to go, whatever the case is. But it's what our mind gets set on that we begin to think. And as we think, so as we begin to do. The Word of God tells us those things. What you set your mind on. Let's set our mind from this next year of 2020, set our mind on Christ and go for Him. Look after Him, hunger for Him, desire more of Him. Listen to Him, follow Him, talk to Him. Oh, pray to Him, I guess, or talk to Him. So what consumes your mind controls your life. Don't focus on your adversaries. Don't focus on the problems around you or somebody that's a thorn in your side or the adversities in your life. Use that as a time to focus on God's possibilities. We heard and hear things sometimes that sometimes the bigger your adversity is, you know what? You got a God that's just as big, or I should say, you got a God that is bigger. Whatever the world throws at you, you're going to get it. But you know God is there for you, and He's much bigger. Amen? Much bigger than whatever you're going through. One last thing. Instead of thinking how hard the test is, and this is kind of falling along that line, focus on asking the Lord to enlarge your understanding. We go through these things. So as we think about these things, and it's, wow, this is hard. My goodness, Lord, how am I going to deal with this? How are we going to get through this? How is this going to happen? Why? The questions are going a mile a minute. But focus on asking the Lord to enlarge your understanding. Lord, this is bigger than I can understand. Lord, this is bigger than what my doctors can take care of. This is bigger than what my bank account can take care of. This is bigger than whatever, whatever. You fill in these blanks that are out there. We all have blanks in our life that we can fill in these words of, this is bigger than I can handle, but I need to focus on, Lord, increase my understanding. Give me understanding of where this is going. Help enlarge this thought of me and make me focus on you rather than the situation at hand. So anyway, we find that in Matthew 6:34. It talks really quick there where it says what? In Matthew 6:34, so don't worry about tomorrow, right? Who? Anybody already worrying about tomorrow? No, sometimes I do. I think about it. I don't even worry about tomorrow. Sometimes I worry about 3 days out. Anybody do that? It's like, oh, gosh, why did I say that I would do that? Why did I tell that person I would be glad to help do that? Or whatever the case is, and that's 4 days out. And as it gets closer, you just get stirred and think, oh boy, you're starting to think. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough. We have troubles today, it's enough. Why do we want to pile on more troubles, you know? And praise God that we might have a day that you don't have any troubles. But generally, it's telling us in His Word that today's trouble is enough for today. I would look at that and say, just deal with now. Because I believe my God has those things in the future taken care of. Or if not, He will give me the strength. or if not, he will give me the answer. I will read scripture. I will sit before the Lord. It'll be times of meditation. It'll be times of prayer. And all of a sudden, something will come to me. And it's like, that is for tomorrow. That's all of a sudden, you're in your tomorrow, and there's a problem, and you're saying, yeah, but I just read in scripture 2 days ago the comfort and the strength of what God did then. I feel like I'm going through that now. He will be there to help you. Paul will tell you in Philippians to forget the past and reach towards what lies ahead. We end this year, it's in the past. Even like just what I said is now in the past. The split second is gone. Philippians 3:13 says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or laid hold of it, but the one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Are you reaching forward to the things that are in front of you? Or do you constantly want to try to keep bringing the stuff from the past up? Or do you want to keep going back to the back to try to fix that or do that or whatever the case is? And it takes your eyes off of the prize. Remember, guys, we're running a race. We're running a marathon. We're going to keep going. A marathon runner is never going to win if he stops and goes back a block and runs again back and forth trying to get a better whatever. It's just like the past is past. What I've got to do is focus where my step is at today. Remember, we're just steps away from 2020. Focus on your step today as you're getting into this new year and be ready for it. Isn't this comforting to know that God has prepared your 2020 for you? God knows everything that's going to take place in your life in 2020. Matter of fact, he knows everything that's going to take place in your life between now and the time you're called home. Whether you live to be a ripe old age of whatever, 120, 110, 190, whatever. But he knows all of these things that are laid out. Now, we do understand that there's things that come along in people's lives that are they're accidents. And it's not that they're out of control of God, but there are things that happen on this side of heaven that things are going to happen. And that's why we call them accidents. Accidents are things that are not planned. But now we've got to go into that level of understanding that, you know what, I don't understand that, but God does, and we trust God. We are in a body that is not perfect, right? I know spiritually we get reborn and, you know, the Spirit lives in us. But we are still in a very corruptible body that is dying physically, okay? Your internal things, your organs, your bone, whatever the case is, it's just we are what we are. But the body was that like of a tabernacle, and now he or she is with that of the Lord. So we're here for a time and a season. It talks about we are but a vapor in this time. I hope my vapor is a long vapor. I want a long vapor. Lord, give me a long vapor. I want to live long. I want to serve you. I want to honor you. I want to praise you, you know, on this side of heaven, because I want to show people that there's love and you're a loving God and you're a caring God. And how can I do that from heaven? But whenever the time comes, here we come, you know. But we've got to focus on where we're at. We've got to be willing to look at the things that are ahead of us, the things that God has for us, and forget those things behind us. And so, yes, God has us planned out, and he knows the steps between now and 2020 and into our next year. I pray that we all have a long life, a long time to just serve him and to honor him and bring him glory. Amen? So, I'm reaching forward, Paul says, to those things which are ahead. Are you reaching forward? Now, what we're talking about here, not only does Paul tell us to reach forward, he encourages us to press toward the goal. Philippians 3:14 continues with, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's what it's all about. Pressing on. I reach for the prize, the upward call, to honor him, to glorify him, to know that I want to serve him here, but salvation and what he did for me on the cross, crucified, away in the manger, from the birth to the cross, what he's done for us. It's all a plan from God to where we are at today that we can have the joy and the peace and the hope. Let's see, what was that? Hope, joy, peace, love. Love over all of that because of Jesus. But I want to keep what Paul is saying here. I want to press toward that goal for that prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Keep reaching forward. Keep going. Don't slow down. Don't stop. Don't be sidetracked by the problems or the things in this life that are going to try to pull you away from those things of God. Don't dwell on your past. Instead, grow in the knowledge of God by concentrating on your relationship with Him. You need to concentrate on your relationship with Him. You need to think about that relationship. Don't dwell on the past. You've been forgiven. Toward and look forward to a fuller and more meaningful life because of your hope in Christ. Don't allow the devil to always snare you and keep you thinking of your past and how unworthy you are. And yes, devil, I am unworthy, but not anymore. Because my righteousness is of that of God's righteousness now. Yes, you're right, devil. My righteousness was like what God calls filthy rags. But now I'm different. I've got His righteousness. I'm reaching forward. I'm going to that prize. I'm going to keep going that way. I'm not going to dwell on my past. I'm going to grow in the knowledge of God. Grow in the knowledge of God. Any here feel like that you've got like walking into a river and that you're sinking? You know? I like this to where we're going to go next. It's going to be in Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, chapter 42 is ending with God's sorrow over the spiritual decay of His people. But in chapter 43, He, despite that, shows them mercy. Anybody here been a benefactor of God's mercy? I could raise both hands and both feet probably, you know. God says that despite that spiritual decay, He's going to show them mercy. He talks about where He will bring them back from captivity and restore them. Even in our lives today, this past year, whatever the case might be, you might have been held captive in some of these things of this world and the things that the devil wants to put on you, the things that sometimes you even put on yourself. Let's not give the devil a whole lot of credit because it's just our own fleshly human things that we do that sometimes puts us between, that gets between us and of God. But God is a God of mercy and grace. Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins then and in the future as we go back and say, oh Lord, forgive me. Lord, I ask and I repent of what I've just done or the sin that I have incurred. Lord, forgive me. I ask for the blood of Jesus to cleanse me. So He says that He'll restore and He'll show them mercy. Look at that. He's done that how many times with the children of Israel? How many times did He go and take care of them and provide for them? And they thought they were in a trouble and they started, you know, bad-mouthing Him or whining and all that, but God showed up again. Anybody here whined or complained in the last few years about, oh God, where are You? Did You bring me this far to just leave me here? But He will bring them back from captivity and restore them. He's going to bring you from your captivity, and He has, as those followers of Christ and your Christian faith and Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were set free. You were released from bondage that the world had upon you and that the devil would just love to keep you in. He will do this by the outpouring, John, you brought it, love, not wrath. God does His correction in such a way that is not of wrath that I feel. It's more of in love. Now, when somebody forgives you and they're working with you and in the natural, and they could just really give it to you, but they have a way of just doing it in love. Sometimes that's even harder to take, isn't it? It's like, I would rather be whipped than to have you shower me with love and how you're doing this because I deserve to be whipped. I deserve to be chastised. I deserve da 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 da. Whatever it is, I deserve the way my actions. But if somebody comes to you with that of like God of love, you don't know how to take it. Quickly dealing with the public. You'd go into situations when you work out in the public and somebody's really mad and upset. And they're ready for a fight when they come up to like the service counter of a store because something's not working right, or they want to bring something back and they're just hot, man. You just walk up there and they're just wanting to raise their voice, and they do raise their voice to make a scene. And all you need to do is stand on the other side of the counter or stand out there with them and just talk in a normal tone and say, "How can I help you?" Well, how can we do this? You don't raise your voice with them. You keep yours low. And it's a way of really walking in love. And it's just like, "Here, I'll help you. I'll try to do the best to take and make it right for you." And it's an amazing thing. Once you don't respond with the tone that they're in, generally, not always, there's always those few out there, but generally they will come down. That's our life as we walk it out in Christ-likeness, is that when we get into a disagreement, when we get into some things happening, that we don't need to raise our voice. We need to walk in love, not wrath, the way God would do it. Sometimes your kids, they will feel more chastised by you not correcting them or spanking them, by just looking over at them and shaking your head like, "I am disappointed. But I love you, but I'm disappointed in your actions." Someone would say, "Oh gosh, Daddy, I'd rather have you, you know, swap me on the bottom, or, you know, send me to my room for a week. I don't know." But, you know, sometimes just looking at them and say, "I'm disappointed, but I still love you." Because they're kind of geared up to thinking like, "Oh boy, here comes the hammer. Boom," you know. And sometimes that happens. But generally, if we walk in love, now how can I do that in the flesh? I can't do that. My human nature would be to what? Scold, get mad, get aggravated. But it's God in us trying to walk out what he's put in us, trying to walk out what I've read him as my God. I want to emulate him. I'll be like Christ. Have the mind of Christ, you know. Have those actions like Christ. I think there was only one time that I really got irate with our kids. And I had one of them say, "Dad, you're yelling at us." And I wasn't yelling at them. But to prove a point, this is what yelling is. I began to yell at them at a pretty high pitch of sound. You know, you can just visualize that. "Dad, stop yelling at us." I go, "You think this is yelling? This is yelling. If I was going to yell at you, I'd just rah!" You know, man, my octaves went up. My volume went up. And then it came down. I said, "That's yelling. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah." But God is a God of love. Now, there is wrath and things of that nature. And we read it in scriptures and things. But it's when you really have gone over to the other side of points of disobedience and taking other gods before him and just turning totally away from him. There's a wrath there, but I think more so I sense and feel that it's more of he just takes his hand of blessing and provisions and protections from you, and then you're out there on your own into the world of what's happening. Until then, I feel like when I'm with God and I'm honoring him and obeying him and being obedient to him, I feel like there's a God spiritual force field around me. How about you? Is my force field resonating? Do you see it here? Is there a glow above my head? I feel like when I'm on the right side with God and honoring and pleasing him, no, not perfect. There's faults and things that I ask for forgiveness, but I'm honoring and pleasing him, and I'm desiring to honor him, that I feel that there's a protection around me. Will problems happen in my life? Yes. Will these things happen? Yes. I'm not denying those things, but I'm saying that there's a sense of knowing that there's a powerful force around me more than what I am, and that my God is there to protect me. And you know what? If something happens and, you know, I don't know, somebody shoots me and I die, well, I'm going to heaven, for crying out loud. What's, you know, that's just a win-win thing. But I feel that as I honor in things of God, that his presence is there. And you can kind of walk that out in peace and comfort in directions of ways to go. But we got to get to where I was really wanting to go, but I think we'll wrap this up really quick. Isaiah 43:1-3. The Savior of Israel says, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you." Guess what? the Lord. God created you too. O Israel, the one who formed you says, God says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Oh, have you heard the Lord calling? You are mine. And here it goes. Verse 2, when you go through deep waters, anybody gone through deep waters this past year? I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, anybody gone through difficulty? Seemed like rivers of difficulty? You will not be drowned. And now, even when you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Sounds like a story somewhere else in the Bible, huh? About this big old fiery furnace. Three people thrown in. They saw a fourth one in there. They brought them out. Not even a singe of anything on their clothes or nothing. But it says, the flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isaiah 43, 2 and 3. You'll go through deep waters, I'll be with you. You'll go through rivers of difficulty, you will not be drowned. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned, for the flames will not consume you. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I am your Savior. We all need a Savior. And we do have the Savior, the best Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. For going through rivers of difficulty will either cause you to drown or they will force you to grow stronger. We need to remember, though, that our own strength will not help us. If you're doing it on your own, you will likely drown. What God is sharing with the children of Israel there is like, you need me, and I love you. I have grace and mercy for you. Even though, you know, spiritually, and you did things that were not good, you know, talking about spiritual decay of the people, but he's bouncing back and telling them what? I am the Lord, your God. Is he your God? The Holy One of Israel. I am your Savior. Now, here's looking at this next year coming up, and we're steps away from it as we talked about. 43:16, it says, God continues on sharing with the people of Israel. And it goes on to say, I, the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty water. He's doing new things. He's going to do a new thing in your life. Every day that you live is a new day, right? What's going to happen in that day? What are you going to focus on that day? Are you going to focus on the blessings, or are you going to focus on the problems and the stress and the other things that seem to get in the way? Why is it that it seems like the other stuff seems to take more precedence over that than just the blessings of what God has for us? Well, it's because the way the world around us wants to bombard you with all kinds of negativity and all kinds of yuck. You know, they just want to continually put garbage into you, garbage into you, garbage into you, because sooner or later you're going to forget about the blessings of God that day and realization that know that God is with you that day and that God brought you through that day to live another day. But it's to live another day to bring honor and glory to him and to be able to stand and to be able to have shalom. Remember how we talked about shalom last week? All of the things that shalom infers about. But we walk out daily. We should be in that shalom of things and completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, and harmony. And this is what I like, shalom. At the very end of this, it says in here, it talks about, it's the absence of agitation or discord. We need to walk our days with shalom. How many here throughout the week, you will end up sometimes with agitation or discord in that day? You need to look at yourself. You got to answer it yourself. Why? Why do we want to do that when we can walk in completeness and wholeness and health and peace and welfare and safety and tranquility and prosperity and perfectness and fullness and rest and harmony? Why do we want to be agitated and be in discord? When we're in that way, and that's where we're at, the absence of Well, if we've got agitation or discord, then what's absent? Shalom. If we have shalom, what's absent? Agitation and discord. We got to look at this year and the years ahead and the things that God has planned. But it talks about God continues on sharing with the people of Israel. I am the Lord who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty water. Talks about that. Remember that path in the mighty water. What was that about? Where he opened up that and the children of Israel went through that on dry ground. Then the army that was chasing them got in there. And then what happened to the water? Took them back. They were no longer to be seen. Think about that for your life. Think about that for this coming year. You know, you're going through adversity. You're going through a problem, whatever the case might be. All of a sudden, there seems to be, and there's an opening in the stretch of water there, and you're going to go through it. Go through it! If the Lord has said, go, go, amen. And don't worry about what's behind you. He'll take care of what's behind you. If somebody's coming, if your adversaries are coming after you, whatever the case might be, whatever the case is, just go through that place that he's prepared for you, where he's parted the waters, whatever the case is, and go. I, the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty water. If he can do that, why would he not make a path and a way through your life? He will make a path and a way in your life to bring you to the destiny that he has for you. Now he is telling them, that was in 43:16. In 43:18, Isaiah 43:18, now he is telling them not to remember the former things as well, nor the things of old. That's the thing of today. We want to look for the front. We want to know that, okay, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. But we want to know that he's going to make a way. But he says that in 43:19, he is doing a new thing. He's going to do a new thing in your life. Hallelujah. Be ready for it. I think some of the things that happen is we don't prepare ourselves for the good things of God. Why is that? Because we don't realize they're there because we're focused on the negativity. We're focused on the agitation. We're focused on the things that discord or whatever's taking place or the problems in our life. We focus on those things rather than seeing the blessing. Hasn't it been heard? Have you heard this? To where be watchful because there's a blessing coming to you. Or there's a blessing that just passed you. In our lives today, you need to be spiritually awakened to be catching these blessings that God is on the pipeline. They're just coming down. It's like that candy manufacturer, you know, has these little butter, peanut butter cups or candy kisses going down this line. You know, these things are coming. That's a blessing. They're coming at you. Be ready to get them. If you miss them, what happens? You look and they go, oh, there goes a blessing. Be looking, be watching for those things that are coming to you, for he will do a new thing. He talks about making a road in the wilderness. It's not bad to have a road in the wilderness, huh? Because without a road in the wilderness, it's pretty hard to traverse that wilderness. To do that, you got to climb over stumps. You got to go through tall weeds. You got to cross a ravine. You got to go down in a ditch. You got to go up a hill. You got to go over this, you got to go over that. There's no set path per se. But God is saying, I will make a road in the wilderness for you. Whatever happens in this coming year, know that he's making a road for you. He's going to part the waters to walk for you to walk through, or he's going to make a road for you to walk in. My. I think it even talked about, just quickly, and looking at Isaiah 43:2, when it talks about, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Wow. Not even going to be scorched. Then it goes on to talk about, in 16, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, and they shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Anybody chasing you this coming year, or today or tomorrow, just allow the Lord to just, you know, take care of them for you. And then in 18, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. A new thing. Nothing like new. New does seem to be a springs forth, right? Now, I know we're in the winter and all that and all, but wait until summer or spring comes. What happens in spring? We begin to see little buds coming up out of the ground, you know, springing forth, new life. Flowers are coming back. The petals are growing. The colors, the trees, everything springs forth. Hallelujah. Behold, I will do a new thing. Verse 19. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. A river in the desert. That's good to have a river in the desert, because usually what happens in a desert? You get thirsty. You get dry. But God is telling them then in Isaiah, but I believe he's telling us today that he's doing a new thing. Every day is a gift, right? It's a new thing. And if you seem to be in an area of where you're out there lost, or you just got so much going on, and that would be a wilderness thought process, he'll make a road for you to get out of there. Or if he's going to keep you in the wilderness, hey, he'll make a road for you to go through it and just enjoy the scenery. There's nothing wrong with being in the wilderness, guys. I mean, you want to get out of the city and all, just go out in the country and just be there in the country. So wildernesses are okay. Wildernesses are times with God, I believe, to help you grow. Those are the times that maybe he needs to talk to you, but the only time you will talk to him and he can talk to you to where you will hear is going to be out in the wilderness, because there's no other noise and hub and stuff going on around you. Sometimes in the past, whenever you had like a power failure, you know, and some of these things, I remember in the several years back here, it's like an ice and all that, and you're without power for several days because of the ice and the damage. It's kind of interesting where at night it's like no TV and no, I mean, you have candles and stuff for lights and stuff, you know? And it's so peaceful and quiet. You look across to the living room or across the table and you look at that person on the other side and you go, who are you? Oh, you're my wife. I didn't know you were here. What? It really brings you back into hearing and paying attention. So God may put you in the wilderness, but don't think it's because of, ooh, I've been bad. Could be that he's saying, hey, my child, I want to spend some time with you alone. And I'm going to make a path for you, and let's go for a walk. So that same God is the one today saying the same thing to us today. The thing we need to look at, too, is the past miracles in your life, even the past miracles that he performed for the children of Israel and for their parents and all that, generation and generation and generation, the past miracles were nothing compared to what God would do for his people in the future. These things in the past are good things to reflect back on to give you encouragement. But I'm going to tell you, God is a God of miracles. And he will just continue to do those things in your life. But you've got to be looking, you've got to be expecting, and you've got to be focused on today and what's taking place. Leave the past to the past. Really, I'm not going to worry about it. January 15th or February 28th or July whatever of 2020, I'm going to go day by day and just look at the blessings that God has for me. And should some trouble come and should some things happen, I'm going to rely on God to give me the strength to get through those things. And he will be there to do those things. Do you believe that? Because he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And if he's going to make a way, he will make a way. Now, we've got to realize that it's his way, not our way. My way is totally different, probably a whole lot of times, than what God's ways is. Have you ever had that thought? Well, God, why did you do it this way? If it was me, I would have done it that way. Then I always hear that thing that he talked about in Job, was it? And so, where were you when I created this place? That kind of sets me back, like, okay, I'll step back. Thank you, God. Your way's better. It's not my way, but I'm probably glad it's not my way, because it would fail anyway because it's my way. Remember, man's strength, you'll drown. If you're doing it on your own strength, you'll drown going in that river. But with his, you'll survive. And so anyway, you have those things. And those are the things that the Spirit of God just reflects back on me. When I start questioning and, oh, this or that, and all of a sudden, that's what's so cool about, you know, reading scriptures and having the Bible, kind of the stories and the things that God did, is because those things happen thousands and thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of years ago, or whatever the case is, you know, long time ago. But it's like, oh, that's right. I guess you didn't ask me how to create this world. You did pretty good. I'll humble myself and say, your way is the better way, Lord. I don't understand it. Help me understand it. But I'm going to praise you and thank you for it. Heavenly Father, as we thank you for your word, thank you for directions. Thank you, Lord, that I find comfort in your word, Lord, knowing that you're there. Knowing that you appeared in so many times in the Israelites, Lord, as they transversed out of bondage, Lord. And each one of us in our days now, Lord, we've transversed out of the bondage of this world and the things that we were held to, and we're going through this time as well, Lord. But we're finding great benefits and great blessings and great love and great joy and great of so many things because all of you. And yes, Lord, there'll be these things that we don't understand. There'll be those things that frustrate us. There'll be those things that even bring sorrow into our lives. But, oh, Father, we have to realize that, Lord, you are still there and that our strength comes from you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And I believe your strength will help us walk through this life. And I pray, Lord, upon each one that is here today, Lord, that as we enter into this new year, that just abundance of blessings will be upon their path, that, Father, you will do a mighty work in their lives, that they will do a mighty work in their life to honor you, Lord, so that we can bring honor and glory to you through all of these things. Lord, as we have passed through that of Christmas and going into this new year, we do realize and we do recall Jesus as a babe, Jesus as he walked upon this earth doing the things that his Father had told him to do and healing and sharing of the talking about that of a new kingdom. And Father, we just continue to know that he is there now at the right hand of you, interceding for us. And that we are never alone. We are never alone. Even when it seems like we are alone, when we're going through a difficult time, may our spirit be quickened by that of the Holy Spirit to know that you're there loving us and sheltering us and holding us and comforting us in whatever we need at the time. How much we love you, Lord. Oh, I know you love us. Thank you, Father.